Let's share a word of prayer together. Let's dive into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you so very much for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for everything you are doing in this season. We're truly amazed by you. Lord, we exalt you. We magnify your holy name. Have your way amongst us tonight. Lord, as we gather around your word, I ask for illumination from the Holy Spirit. I ask, Father God, for clarity, for direction. Teach us your word. Help us, Father God, to be able to grow several steps higher tonight. Help us, God, to understand your will and your counsel and your purpose for us. Let your word do us good. I pray for all of my brothers and sisters tonight. Everyone that is joining us online, on whatever platforms, I pray for them and their loved ones, their families. God, that you bless them. I pray, Father God, that you cover them. Lord, that your mighty hands rest mightily upon them tonight. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. And thank you again for joining us tonight. Thank you for being a part of this. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining. I'm going to ask that you get your Bibles, your notebooks, your pens. We're going to dive right into the Word of God. For several months now, of course, as you are aware, we have been studying the seven most important PowerPoints in praying for yourself. And I don't know about you, I'm sure you have been blessed too. I'm going to say that because I believe you have been blessed. And I have been so tremendously blessed and continue to be. And looking forward to the next few sessions that we have. You know, we're getting very close to the end. We have already studied five of these PowerPoints. We've talked about abiding in the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to abide in us. Actually, abiding in God and allowing His Word to abide in us. That was our first PowerPoint. Our second PowerPoint was the importance of committing to the will of God, committing to God's will. We did a great job of studying that. Our third PowerPoint was the importance of growing in faith and engaging our faith in the place of prayer. Growing in faith and engaging our faith in the place of prayer. So powerful. The fourth PowerPoint was a very simple word, but extremely powerful, expansive lesson, which we call simply ask. Ask. And we learned a lot about what it means to ask. Scripturally, what it really means to ask. And then the PowerPoint that we just wrapped up, extremely powerful, was the PowerPoint that I titled, Forgive and Eliminate All Unforgiveness from Your Life. Forgive and eliminate all unforgiveness from your life. Oh, so powerful, so powerful, so powerful. And I think we spent a couple of weeks in that as well. Tonight, we're going to get into our sixth PowerPoint. And this PowerPoint, I have called Recognize What is Rightfully Yours in Christ and Demand It in His Name and Authority. Let me say that again. Recognize, in the place of prayer, recognize what is rightfully yours in Christ and demand it in His name and authority. Well, who are we demanding it of or from? Not from the Lord for sure, because there's a place of asking the Lord. There's a place of articulating our request, and there's a place of expressing our confidence in Him and having expectation and Yes. But you do remember when we learned, if you joined us, if you didn't, those messages are there. They're available online. When we studied the power of asking, and we explained the different aspects to asking, one of the things that we mentioned back then, and we studied that a little bit, tiny little bit, is that sometimes, many times, asking is making requests of the Father. Many times, asking is making requests of the Father. Our prayers are making requests of the Father. However, sometimes asking and our praying is actually making a demand of Satan in the name of Jesus. Making a demand of Satan, making a demand of circumstances, making a demand of the elements in the name of Jesus. Just as though Jesus himself was there. We've learned about the power of attorney in his name. I hope you remember all of these powerful lessons. I know there's so many, but oh, glory to God. What power in all of these lessons. We have learned about using the power of attorney that is in the name of Jesus. That is, when we pray in the name of Jesus, it is as though the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, was asking. He was the one that was praying. You remember we studied these two very powerful Greek words used to describe the word ask. One of them is erotao, the other is aiteo. And we learned during this series of lessons how every time the Lord Jesus Christ asked of the Father and every time he prayed to the Father, one of those Greek words is used, erotao. And most of the time when we are asked to ask, when we are told to ask, the word aiteo is used. And we've described and talked about all those different things. The fact that there is equality when the Lord Jesus Christ asks of the Father, he's almost guaranteed to have, not even almost, he is guaranteed to receive it. Because of who he is, because of his position, and because he always pleases God. When we ask, a lot of times, we have to check, are we asking right? Is this the will of God? Jesus Christ, Jesus checks all the boxes before he asks. So it's express for him. But that express is also available to us if we have done due diligence. And if everything else, all of the other factors that are important, if those have been taken care of, when we ask in the name of Jesus, it is as though the Lord Jesus Christ himself was the one asking. So, making a demand of the Father, making a demand of Satan, of circumstances, of the element, becomes extremely important in the place of prayer. Because a lot of times, what we want and what we need to do in the moment has nothing to do with the Father. As in, it's not really up to him. It's up to us. And he has given unto us everything that we need to be able to get it done. You know, sometimes people say, I'm praying, I'm waiting on the Lord. But really, the Lord is waiting on them. Because he has already given them everything that they need to get the job done. Remember, think about this scenario. One time when Jesus said to the disciples in Mark chapter 4, let us go over to the other side. You remember that story? And they were all going over to the other side. He went and took a nap in the ship. And suddenly there came this storm. And the Bible describes it as a storm of hurricane proportions. I mean, the disciples thought literally they were going to die in this storm. And they did everything. They tried to get rid of the water that was trying to submerge their boat and did everything. Nothing was really working. And then finally they went and woke the Lord Jesus Christ up, who the Bible says was sleeping very, very peacefully on a leather cushion. Hallelujah. Talk about peace. And when they woke him up, he simply got up and did not even talk to the Father. He didn't say, Father, I ask you concerning this storm. I don't know what, why we have it, what's supposed to happen with it. What should we do about it? No. He just got up and said, hey, peace be still. peace, be still. And that was it. The Bible says the storm stopped immediately. What was happening there? Jesus was making a demand, not of the Father, of the elements. Amen. Of the elements. Now, this is what we're going to be talking about in this next two services, beginning tonight. We're going to be talking about recognizing what is rightfully ours in Christ and demanding it in His name and in His authority. Now, a good place to start is where we closed out, one of the areas where we closed out in our last discussion on forgiveness. I want you to go with me to Matthew 18, and we're going to read from verse 15. I'm going to read this real quickly, and I'm going to try to move on very fast because I want to be able to cover this in 2 weeks, tonight and next week, and the Lord is going to help us. I know the Lord is going to help us. We have the grace of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Say amen, somebody. Hallelujah. So in Matthew chapter 18, we're going to read from verse 15. And I want you to see as we start reading and as we get into this set of studies, how these two things are connected. Our walking in forgiveness, walking in love, a lot of times actually has a bearing on our being able to exercise our spiritual authority, to stand our ground, to make a claim and to demand what is ours in Jesus' name. That authority, exercising that authority, a lot of times has a lot to do with our love walk. If we're walking in love, that's why the Lord, in the same breath, while He was teaching the concept of forgiveness and reconciliation amongst believers, then He goes on and talks about kingdom authority. And you remember one of the statements that we made before we closed out our last series of lessons on forgiveness was we said forgiveness is the key to unbroken fellowship, and unbroken fellowship is the key to kingdom authority. Keep that in your spirit. That's so important. Forgiveness is the key to unbroken fellowship, and unbroken fellowship is the key to kingdom authority. Amen. Now, I've talked enough. Let's get into the word. Matthew 18 and verse 15. Moreover, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Letters are in red. If your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he will hear you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if you would neglect to hear them, then tell it unto the church. We've explained all of this, and we've gotten a lot of good understanding. If you missed that, those two lessons on forgiveness, my goodness. Those were so awesome. Please go back and revise them, please. If you will not hear them, he says, then go to the church. Represents group of representatives of the church who have an understanding of the word of God and have the mind of God for kingdom relationships. And he says, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglects to hear the church, then let him be unto you as a heathen man and a publican. That's treat him as an unbeliever, because he obviously does not respect and does not regard the covenant relationship that we have in the kingdom of God amongst one another and with our heavenly Father. Now, but look at the next verse right here. It ties this into verse 18, and it says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, listen, it's not the Father who is binding. It's not the Father who is losing. It's us. Notice the Lord didn't say, whatsoever the Father shall bind through you on earth will be. No. He said, whatsoever you shall bind on earth. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth. This is what we talk about, recognizing what is rightfully yours in Christ and demanding it in His name and in His authority. He says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. That is kingdom authority right there. And You know, a lot of times in the place of prayer, after we've done the different things we need to do with our Father, with the Holy Spirit, we've done all the different things that we know we need to do in prayer, sometimes it becomes very important that we take on the garment of the authority, the spiritual authority that we have been given, and we make a demand. We make a demand in Jesus' name. Now, before I leave this talk about love and forgiveness and unbroken fellowship and kingdom, I'm going to quickly say this to you because this is probably the only time I'm going to get the opportunity to say this. There is such a connection between a believer walking in the love of God and being able to exercise their God-given kingdom spiritual authority. Remember that scripture where he says that you were, you know, actually, let's read it. I didn't have it prepared, forgive me, but as we're going, the Holy Spirit is bringing it into my spirit. And even though I don't have it in my notes, it's coming. Let's go read it. Like, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Remember that scripture where the Bible says we cast down imagination, we take captive thoughts that are not obedient to Christ, and then we exercise judgment on everything, on every disobedience after our own obedience is complete. I want you to see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's read this from verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare." Now, this is talking, this is spiritual authority here. This is spiritual warfare. Why do you need weapons? Because we're called to do spiritual warfare. And we're not doing spiritual warfare with other believers. We're not even doing spiritual warfare with human beings. This is where believers do miss it a lot of times. Because many times, instead of engaging in spiritual warfare with our real enemy, many times we're fighting with people, or we're fighting with one another. Spiritual warfare, we're certainly not fighting the Lord. Amen. But the Bible says we have weapons. These weapons are hidden. They are not natural weapons, like guns and swords and spears and machetes and things like that. No. These are far superior weapons. These are spiritual weapons. The Bible describes them. Now, listen to this. He said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." That's verse 3. Verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." That's, they are not physical. They are not natural. They are not fleshly. "But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Hallelujah. Our spiritual weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and," watch this, "bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That's going on within us. We're taking thought captive. We're casting down imagination. That's going on within us. There's that battlefield, and Joyce Meyer so powerfully said it years ago. The greatest battlefield where everything is lost, is won or lost in the life of a believer, is in the mind. The greatest battlefield is in the mind. And so there are things going on within us where we're casting down imagination, we're doing warfare against, we're taking thought captive. And when using the authority in the name of Jesus, we say, "We cast you down, thoughts." We know these are not thoughts from God. Like, the enemy puts thoughts in your mind that say there's a sickness that's gonna destroy you or gonna kill you, or that puts hatred thoughts or envious thoughts or jealousy thoughts within you, or just evil thoughts and things that don't line up with Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. They are not true, they are not pure, they are not just, they are not honest, they are not virtuous, they don't have excellence, they are not of good report, and they don't have any praise within them. They don't pass any of those tests. And the enemy introduces thoughts into our lives a lot of times to drag us down, to pull us down. Well, listen, when we stand to fight and to do warfare within ourselves, we're not talking to the Lord. Yeah, we're praying in the name of Jesus, but we're not talking to the Lord. The Lord's done his part. He's given us all we need. He's the one who gave us these weapons of our spiritual warfare. The Bible says they are mighty through God. So we're not praying, Lord, oh Lord, please let me get rid of these thoughts. Lord, oh, please don't let the devil use these thoughts to destroy my life. Oh, no, 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 no. We are taking authority. See where he says that we cast them down? We do that. We take thoughts captive? We do that. But in addition to what goes on within us, then there's warfare outside of us as well. Amen. Because the princes and the principalities, and we might get there. Hopefully we get to that next week, where the Bible in Ephesians 6 says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Because we're fighting not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. All of these are outside of us. These are not inside us. Amen. But we use our same weapons, spiritual weapons that we've been given. Listen to this verse. So he says in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want you to look at verse 6 very closely. Very important. Very, very important. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your own obedience is fulfilled. We are looking, we are ready to revenge all disobedience. Where is all this disobedience? In these principalities and powers, these spiritual forces and spiritual elements, demonic spirits, Satan himself, his cohorts of evil forces. They are the ones working in disobedience. You know, they are the prince of the power of the air. They are the ones that have infiltrated the whole earth, the whole world. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. He's infiltrated the whole world with the spirit of disobedience. He is the original perpetrator of disobedience. He started from when he was Lucifer and he got thrown down, thrown out of heaven. And he came out and camped out here on the earth because he knows these are people that are created in the image of God. So if I can't get God, I'm going to go get them. He's the original instigator of disobedience. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, we have in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your own obedience is complete. Well, what does that mean? If we are obeying the instruction, the commandment of the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is so powerful, folks. As long as we are obeying the commandment of the Lord, then we are in position to execute vengeance on the disobedience of this demonic spirit, Satan himself. We can exercise our God-given authority, kingdom authority, if we are walking in obedience to the commandments of the Lord. Now listen, what are the commandments in the New Testament? He says, well, thou shalt not steal and thou shalt... Wait. The Bible says in the New Testament there's only one commandment we have been given. It's the commandment of love. It's the commandment to love our God, the Lord our God, with all of our heart, all of our minds, all of our souls, all of our strength. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. The Bible says this is the royal law, it tells us in James. There's only one commandment now. Everything that was spoken in the Old Testament, all the thou shalt not, is all in one now. Everything has been congealed into one commandment in the New Testament. What is that one commandment? Love. It's the commandment of love. Because if you love God and you love your neighbor, you won't do all those things that he was describing in the Old Testament is the love commandment. Now, the love commandment we learned when we studied forgiveness expresses itself a lot of times in forgiveness. So you see now why the Lord, in one breath, as he's talking about forgiveness and as he's talking about reconciling amongst brethren, in the same breath, he starts talking about exercising spiritual authority. Folks, this is so important. This is so very important. Our obedience to the love command is what puts us in good stead to be able to exercise our God-given spiritual authority to advance our cause, advance the cause and the purpose of God on the earth, and to advance our own cause and benefits where the spiritual elements of the world are concerned. I'm going to give you this story real quickly. I've got to move on because I'm way behind my time here. I'm looking. But I've got to tell you this story because this story blessed me so much when I heard it. Every time I think about it, it blesses me so much. And it really helps to buttress this point right here. There was a woman who I think this couple for a long time didn't have a child. They prayed for a child. Eventually, the Lord blessed them with a girl. And a very interesting story. There was a lot of animosity between the wife, the mother of this child, and her mother-in-law, the mother of her husband. And this animosity grew so thick, was so big, was so huge, that they didn't see eye to eye, this lady and her mother-in-law, these two women. She just couldn't find it within her heart to forgive her for whatever. She couldn't stand her. There was so much animosity within her. Well, that opened the door to the enemy. And suddenly, this little child, this little girl, that just by a miracle, by the mercy of God, they eventually had, this girl started to suffer from epilepsy. Started to have epileptic seizures. And it was so bad. Of course, early days, they tried to treat her. Yeah, they would bring her home and, you know, she'll be well for a while and then she'll go back and relapse again. And it was so bad. And the late Kenneth E. Hagin had the opportunity to minister to this family. And eventually, as he ministered, he found out that there was this thing with this woman and her mother-in-law. In fact, this woman used to say things like she hated her mother-in-law. She hated her mother-in-law. And bottom line, cut the long story short, she had to get through the process of being healed, being delivered from that hatred and that unforgiveness spirit that she had. And she had to come to a place of reconciliation with her mother-in-law. And when she did, the late Kenneth E. Hagin said, when he ministered to the child was fine. But he said to her, you know, Satan is going to try again. He's going to come back. But every time he comes back, you look at that child and you say, in the name of Jesus, I'm walking in love. I don't have any animosity. I don't have unforgiveness in my heart. And therefore, Satan, you have no grounds to torment my child. So in the name of Jesus, I command you to take your hands off of her. And he said to her, that's the late Kenneth E. Hagin instructed her, don't worry, you don't have to call me. If that ever comes back again, you just say these words. And she did. And the girl was free. And the power of the love of God made her spiritual authority effectual, made it active, made it potent. But without her walking in love, walking in forgiveness, as long as she was keeping all this nonsense within her mind for her mother-in-law, the enemy had grounds to come in and torment them in their family. He had grounds to come in and steal from them. Be careful, saints. We've already talked about forgiveness and love and all that. I'm not going to go back to that. But this is so interconnected. And this is, I'm going to leave this here and quit because I've got to move on. Please, keep your doors shut to every element of strife, unforgiveness, not walking in the love of God. Make sure, like we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, your obedience to the word of God is always complete, is always fulfilled. Because when your obedience to the word of God is fulfilled, then you are ready, you are in readiness to exercise vengeance on these disobedient elements, spiritual elements. You can speak to them and they'll obey you. But if you are walking in disobedience to that ultimate command or whatever other instruction the Lord gives you, and then you say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I command you, he'll just laugh at you. He'll just laugh at you. Your spiritual authority will not work. Remember that statement again? Forgiveness is the key to unbroken fellowship, and unbroken fellowship is the key to kingdom authority. All right, praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We've got to move on. Let's move on. How many minutes do we have here? A little around maybe 25 minutes. Thank you, Lord. Amen. There's a lot we can do in 25 minutes. We have so much ground to cover. Let's go read. This is going to be, these next three scriptures we read are going to be our grandfather scriptures as we discuss this particular PowerPoint tonight and next week. So let's go read these scriptures. Just back up from Matthew 18. Let's go to Matthew 16. Let's go all the way to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to read verse 12. And I'm actually going to read this scripture to you here from multiple versions of the scripture. But first, let's read it in the King James. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. You know this scripture. It's a very powerful scripture. It says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I love it. I love it so much. And we're in Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. What are we studying tonight? The PowerPoint of recognizing what is rightfully yours in Christ and making a demand and taking it in his name and in his authority. The Bible says from the days of John, these letters are in red here, as the Lord Jesus Christ teaching. He says from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. What does that mean? It means the kingdom of God advances forcefully. And it is only through force that we are going to be able to lay hold on many things that the kingdom of God has made available to us. There are things that God has already given us by virtue of our being members of the kingdom of God. But Satan is going to stand and he's going to do his darnest best to stop us from laying hold on these things. Well, what do we do when that happens? Do we lift up our voices and start crying, oh God, look at what he's doing, Lord? No! The Bible says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Remember the story of that woman I just told you? There was a time when all she knew to do was cry and cry and cry. But then the time came when she was properly instructed and she had worked, she had settled her own obedience matters. And when the enemy stretched out his hand to try to afflict her daughter, she knew what was rightfully hers. My child is a God-given gift to me. Satan, you have no right to afflict her. There's a place to pray for our children, but then there's a place to take authority because we have spiritual jurisdiction over them. There's a place to demand and command that the elements line up, that Satan quit his stranglehold over their lives. There might be a parent here who's struggling with some issue in your children's life or lives. It might be someone who is in despair over the affliction of the enemy regarding their children. Well, listen now. We have spiritual authority. Your child was given to you by God. Now, if those are children, they are still under your roof, this authority works so much easier because you are still in the process of raising them. You are there under your covering. If the children have grown and they have left home, you still have a measure. The authority is not as full as it was when they were under your roof, but you still have a measure of authority there. And if you did what you were supposed to do when they were children, that's grounds there for you to implore. You pray to the Lord, Lord, and there are things you pray, God, put people on their path and direct them in the right place, cause that their steps are ordered by you so that they can find your will for their lives and they can be delivered and restored and find their rightful place in the kingdom of God. All of that you can pray. But if they are still around you, where they're still under your spiritual jurisdiction, you can take authority. You don't need to cry. You don't need to be in despair. And the parents say, oh, this child is going to kill me. It's going to just ruin my life. No, it doesn't have to be. I knew one woman way back several years ago. Way back then, we held services in a school. A gentleman that had ministered to us, I was privileged to minister to, but for some reason, he just, every time he came to, I've taken so much time. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Every time he came to a place, but I think this is how the Lord wants us to go. So it's awesome. It's awesome. Let's keep going. Amen. Because I didn't plan all of this. They're coming by the Spirit. So let's go. And we ministered to him. And every time it came time for him to take a stand, and when the enemy came against him and you get into temptation, drugs and things like that, he'll fall again and he's gone. He may be gone for another 4 weeks, another 8 weeks. We'll be praying, interceding. Suddenly he'll come back again. His wife, who was married to a fervent believer at the time, a young woman. And she will come, we'll pray, we'll stand in agreement. Finally, he'll come home, we'll clean him up, minister to him, clean him up, make him. This man was a 50-something year old at the time, talking almost 20 years ago. And came to the time, he was in prison. I went out there to bail him, pull him out and brought him back to the church, cleaned him up, did everything we could, blah, blah. But every time he confronted this evil and he became overwhelmed by the temptations, he wouldn't follow the steps that we gave him. He would just crash and he's gone into the world again. And unfortunately, eventually, actually he played a role in the early departure of his late mother, because he would disappear and when he would show up suddenly and come and steal from the woman, steal her money and go and do drugs. This was a 50-something year old man, living off of his 70-something year old mother, off of her social security checks. He would just, and at the, there was a point in time he forged her bank account, cleared out all the money. I mean, he played a role, unfortunately, in that woman's, the woman was, she had a frail health to start with, but it was devastating to her. There are so-called children like that. That's not what I'm talking about. A 50-something year old man is not a child. That one is under somebody. That one is under somebody else's jurisdiction. I don't care if you brought them into the world. There are times when you had a chance and you had a place. And if that's over, now what you do is you pray. You intercede, and our prayers still produce if we do everything that we've learned so far. Let's keep on going. So I want to read here from Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, some of the different translations of the scripture that we have. The days of crying are over. Amen. Say that with me. My days of crying are over. I don't cry anymore. I walk in spiritual authority. I walk in dominion. I walk and I exercise the spiritual authority that I have been given in Christ Jesus. So I don't cry anymore. I don't cry. We don't cry over situations. We take our place. We demand change in the name of Jesus. We demand turnaround in the name of Jesus. We're not asking God and begging him, Lord, please. Lord. No. We take our place. And we speak to the elements. We speak to circumstances. Remember, you win the war inside first. We read that in 2 Corinthians 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's so crucial. If we don't win the war inside, we can't win the war outside. If you have all these crazy, raging thoughts and you are not taking control of them, you are not casting down imagination, taking those thoughts captive and making them obedient to the word of God, hey, it's almost impossible for you to exercise spiritual authority on a demonic spirit that is tormenting your family. So we win the war inside first. But when we win the war inside, then we take our place and we demand everything that is rightfully ours in Christ Jesus. Listen to this scripture, Matthew 11, 12. Let's look at some of these translations. It says in the CEV, I really like it, from the time of John the Baptist until now, violent people have been trying to take over the kingdom of heaven by force. By force, from the days of John the Baptist until now. I like God's word. From the time of John the Baptist or the baptizer until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. The kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful people have been seizing it. Hallelujah. Forceful people. Somebody say, I'm forceful. I'm forceful in the spirit. Amen. I'm forceful in the spirit. Hallelujah. There's a time to be gentle like a lamb, a dove, but then there's a time to be forceful in the spirit. And what we're talking about here, this PowerPoint of prayer is that area of our lives, of our prayer, where we take our stand and we are forceful. We are not begging, we're not cajoling, we're not trying to negotiate, we're not trying to say, I'll give you this if you give me that. No. We're taking our place. The kingdom of heaven's forcefully advancing, and we, forceful people, are seizing it. Hallelujah. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's look at one or two more. The Amplified says, from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Amen. I can't even read it without myself having ardent zeal and intense exertion, because the words themselves just bring that out of you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The kingdom of heaven, violent men seize it as a precious prize. They seize it as a precious prize. They're not crying. They're not lamenting. They're not throwing up their arms in the air, talking about how somebody is tormenting them. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that tormenting spirit. Put your hand. There's somebody out there. Put your hand on your head. I rebuke that tormenting spirit. Loose her and let her go in the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. We're not crying. We're not crying. Oh, look at what the devil's done. Look at all the problems he's creating around me. Look at that. No. No. We take our place of authority in Christ Jesus. That in itself is an insult is an insult to the power of the covenant that we have in Christ. For us in any way to suggest that, oh, this the devil is using things and people, demonic spirit, and they are tormenting us. That is just totally an insult for you as a child of God. What happened to your authority? Let's keep going here. If I don't move on here, I won't finish tonight. The message says, for a long time now, people have tried to force themselves into the kingdom. We're forcing our way into it. I really love it. I love it. Look at the ERV, the easy to read version. It says, since the time John the Baptizer came until now, God's kingdom has been going forward strongly, and people have been trying to take control of it by force. Yes. Take control of it by force in your own area of spiritual jurisdiction, in your family. Satan should not be in charge in your home. Satan should not be in charge in your place of work. Anywhere that the sole of your feet has touched, wherever you are rightfully, legally employed, that's an area for you. You exercise authority there. Anywhere you have a family that was legally constructed, put together, you have a place, a home, whether you rent it and pay rent, or you bought it and pay a mortgage, or it's paid off, or you have possessions that you paid your own money for. Satan has no right. These are legally yours. He has no right. He can't come into your home and wreak havoc and break down your washing machine, break down the furnace, and break down everything at the same time and cause you to go bankrupt. He has no right. Somebody's got to recognize what's going on and begin to take authority. And begin to stand their ground and say, in the name of Jesus, this is over now. This stops in your family. I don't care how long this generational issue has been there. Somebody needs to take a stand and say, hey, all right, it's over now. Over. It's time for you to quit, Satan. Stop it. Stop. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I feel the power of God. All right. That's Matthew 11, verse 12. Oh, man. I have 5 minutes. I've got to close here. All right. Let's look at a couple more of our scriptures. We have two more that I want to read tonight. I have two more that I've got to read tonight. These are our grandfather scriptures. Look at Matthew 17. Let's read from verse 16 to 19. I hope I have this right. Actually, I think that is Matthew 16. Matthew 16 from verse 16 to 19. I'm going to correct that in my notes. Made a mistake there. Matthew 16. Okay, I'll do that afterward. Matthew 16 from verse 16 to 19. And that Matthew 16, actually the verse 19, I'm going to have us read that in a few versions. Just try to rush through that tonight before we have to close. Matthew 16, 16 to 19. Let's read from 16 to 19. And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. You remember when the Lord said, who do people say that I am? He said, you are this, you are that. But who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Oh, glory. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It's not the Father that's binding. It's not the Father that's loosing. It's you and me. He said to Peter and the church, I say unto you, you are Peter, And upon this rock I will build my church. So he's talking about the church. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Well, how does the church overcome the gates of hell? By walking in spiritual authority. The gates of hell shall not overcome, shall not prevail against it. How? How do we stop the gates of hell from prevailing against the church? By walking in spiritual authority. By recognizing what is rightfully ours in Christ and making a demand. Making a demand to have it. Making a demand. Demanding it in his name and in his authority. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Then he said, I will give unto you the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let's see here. Let's read this just from a couple of versions. Quickly look at a couple of versions. Matthew 16:19. Look at a couple of versions here. And then try to read the last one if we can. Matthew 16:19. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I like the CEV. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and God in heaven will allow whatsoever you allow on earth, but he will not allow anything you don't allow. Ooh! 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 God in heaven will allow whatever you allow on earth. If you allow something around your life, it will be allowed. If you say no, you are not allowed. Like one version says, if you tolerate it, it's tolerated. But if you refuse to tolerate it, it will not be tolerated. Remember, you and I exercise this spiritual authority. This isn't a place of prayer now. This isn't a place of prayer now. We're talking about taking our rightful place. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I like the God's Word translation. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you imprison, God will imprison. Whatever you set free, God will set free. Woo! Hallelujah. Whatever you imprison, God will imprison. Whatever you set free, God will set free. Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. The good news. The good news. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Remember, who is doing the prohibiting? Who is doing the permitting? It's us. It's not the Father. The Father is waiting for us to take our place. We're going to talk more about this next week. I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. Look at the Amplified. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind, declare to be improper and lawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. So we are in partnership with heaven. And when we say it is bound, it's bound. When we say it is loose, it's loose. Amen. Woo! The NLT. Oh, no, let's look at the message. Let's not skip the message. Ooh, I love it. The message says, that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth. Earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. When you say yes on earth, it's yes. When you say no on earth, it's no. The Lord will honor. Remember everything we said so far. When we do our part and we stand in our rightful place, when we say it, the Lord will honor it. There's no controversy. There is no controversy in the spirit when there's clarity. The only times there's controversy in the spirit is when there's confusion. There's no controversy when there's clarity. There's only controversy when there's confusion. When you don't know your place, you give Satan, you let him run around and he deceives you. You buy into his deception, into his lies. Then there's controversy. And when you say go, he'll say, why? I won't go. I'm staying here. Why should you tell me to go? I don't want to go. I want to stay. You say, in Jesus' name, I tell you to go. He say, no, I don't. You say, I should go, but I don't want to go. Then you'll be having dialogue. You'll be having, like, who can speak louder? Who can shout louder? There's no such controversy when you know. Yeah, let's close this out. When you have your place. Thank you, Lord. Let's read just one more. I really love the ERV because it has something to say about forgiveness. I love it. He says, I will give you the keys to God's kingdom. When you speak judgment here on earth, that judgment will be God's judgment. When you promise forgiveness here on earth, that forgiveness will be God's forgiveness. I love it. Anything you forgive, God will forgive. Anything you judge, God will judge. So it doesn't give us license to just act anyhow. But because we're in partnership with heaven, we know, we can sense, yes, this, there's forgiveness. Because there's repentance, there's a turnaround. So we forgive it, we let it go. That one, we judge it. We judge it. You are gone. You are out. There's no room for you here because we know there's a hardened heart there. The Lord is waiting on us. Our Father is waiting on us. When we take our rightful place and walk in kingdom authority, things happen. Things happen. Prayers are answered. Not necessarily because God did something different, but because we took our place and we did something different. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Let's bless the Lord tonight. Lord, we thank you for the authority that you have given unto us in the name of Jesus. Oh, we receive it. We receive it and we walk in the reality of it. We thank you, Father God, for the precious work that the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary to deliver this authority unto us. We walk in the reality of it. We thank you for it, Father. We bless and we magnify your name. We yield to the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us, God, that our own obedience may be complete in you, that we may obey the words that you speak to us, the instructions that you give unto us, that we may obey your love command, Father. Do everything that is pleasing unto you. And Lord, we thank you because we know that when we do, then we have a readiness to exercise the spiritual authority that you have given unto us. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon every one of my brothers and sisters that's hearing the sound of my voice tonight. I call you blessed. I declare it, you are blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.